This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. Have you ever actually looked at the label on your dog's food? Most dog food labels are a long list of things that don't look like food. Powders, starches, additives used to hold ultra-processed kibble together. At We Feed Raw, the label looks very different. High-quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, complete and balanced nutrition formulated by PhD nutrition experts. No fillers, no artificial preservatives, just real ingredients that support your dog's whole body health. That's why many pet parents see real changes after switching to We Feed Raw's fresh meals. If you want to feed your dog one of the healthiest diets possible, We Feed Raw makes it simple. Right now, new customers can get 40% off their starter box plus free shipping. Visit We Feed Raw at wefeedraw.com to get started today.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing if it's ever okay to kick our teenagers out.
Okay, well, as you know, I asked about this because I saw this article in Newsweek and it upset me. And it was an article titled "Parents Left Furious by Fundraiser to Help Their Quote Homeless Teen Blasted." And it's a story of these parents that kicked out their 18-year-old daughter, I think. Yeah. And she was taken in by her daughter's friend's mother, who then turned around and organized a fundraiser to help us take in this homeless teenager. And there's so many things. So I should let you know that, you know, I have walked some parents through this in 30 years. There's been a handful of times that I have actually walked through the need to actually kick a teenager out of the house. And this article just to me really highlighted some of the nuttiness of how people see this and so forth. I'll just highlight a couple things. This comes on a Reddit thread, which is where apparently you go on and ask, am I being a jerk? It's not the word they use, but and people give feedback. And this article just said that this is a teenager somewhere in America, and that the parents had kicked her out. And then the article chooses immediately to go on and talk about the percentages and the numbers of homelessness as a problem in America. So already this teenager that is having some significant conflict with the parents, this author took that moment to say, and this is an example of homelessness, which is, I could go on and on about the crisis of labeling that we have. We're just naming things the wrong thing. This is not about homelessness. And then secondly, the article failed to mention one little point, which was, what did she do? What was she doing that they made this decision to kick her out? Because I guarantee you, the parents aren't going, well, we just got tired of her messy room. That never is the case, not in America that I know of. And then lastly, no one bothered to mention that this girl is 18. 18.
Right.
And they even mention something about her still being a child. And so it just to me highlighted that, you know, parents, that issue of, so we just said we're going to kick you out, that comes up not infrequently, but there is, in fact, there is a kind of circumstance that kicking a teenager out of the house forcefully is not as unreasonable as you think. It's rare, but it is something that sometimes happens.
Okay. Right. So are we talking about like your 14-year-old kicking them out of the house? What are you saying that, you know, what ages are we talking about here?
It comes up in my office rather a lot. It's usually a father who has saying to some teenager, listen, if you talk to your mother like that again, you're going to have to find somewhere else to live. And he'll say it with a straight face. And I just smile and go, dude, you can't do that. I mean, are we going to threaten something real, or are we going to keep pretending stuff? Because you cannot, in any country that I know of, and I know we're listened to around the world, you cannot kick a 14-year-old out. That's not an option. And should not be discussed. It's a silly, teenagers are smart. They know that you're cornered and you're making stuff up. So that often comes up where I'm reminding parents that kicking this kid out is a silly and unreasonable thing to even threaten.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So what about this 18-year-old? I mean, that's a legal adult. And it did say that she was in senior year of high school, right? So
right.
She needs to finish up school, but she's an 18-year-old. What are your feelings on that?
Well, since Feeding the Mouth That Bites You is really a process of more and more tuning your household expectations to the culture that you live in, then it is important to some degree where you live. So we are in the United States. We come out of Texas. And Texas is one of what I think is 48 states, I think, maybe 47. There's only a couple of states in this country that parents still have full control over the teenagers until they're 18. Believe it or not, I know that because that's where you'll find a higher number of residential treatment facilities. It's in Utah and Alabama that because a parent can send a kid and keep them there past their 17th birthday. Our state and everywhere else, at 17, you really cannot force your kid to live at home, believe it or not. If, as I always say, if a 17-year-old has run away, they don't run away, they walk away. Because if you call the police in most of this country and say, my 17-year-old didn't come home, then they'll report her as a missing person. Or, you know, they, you know, ran off to their friend and I want to get them back. So you have to keep that in mind as to kind of what realistically is your ability, you know, as far as the community you live in. We have a lot of listeners in Australia and England. I'd be curious what the UK and Australia has about this. I'm going to guess it's younger than us, but we have this little glitch in our law where it says that at 17, you really can't technically kick them out for no reason, but you don't have to let them come back. But at 18, everywhere around, you know, that I know of, in this article, for example, this is a girl old enough to vote. No, you don't have to let them live at home. There is some difficulty as far as they need to finish high school, but virtually always, as long as you can demonstrate that this is the ongoing issue that we're having, and this young adult refuses to follow our basic rules in our house, then that's usually enough to justify the cases that you really do need to kick them out.
Mm-hmm. I found it interesting in the article that the woman who took in the quote unquote runaway homeless teen,
right,
said that the teen wasn't on drugs and wasn't using alcohol, as if that was the only basis on which to kick a teenager out of your house.
Excellent point. Not only that, as if the teenager is going to be telling her the truth. I just find that hilarious.
Right.
That, well, how do you know that? Well, the teenager told us, and I've had that many times, right, where they, you know, get mad and run off and they're at their friend's house and some parent, usually parents know what to do. You know, if you've got a teenager at your house against the parent's will, you really need, there's a crime called harboring a runaway and you're not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. But parents get at risk of that because this sweet kid is telling me stuff like this mean parent is, you know, for no reason kicked me out and I don't drink or do drugs. Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but kids that regularly do drugs often lie about it. So, yeah, right. I think it's hilarious, but you're right. That's not the only reason, but it does highlight that the real reasons that I've had parents that had to kick their teenager out, it's bad. It is repeated drug use. It's really a couple of basic things that you discover when things get bad. Number one, if you cannot, like after 17, if you really can't, really at any age, if you cannot have reasonable certainty that your teenager is at home when they say they're going to be at home, or be where they say they're going to be, then you're pretty quickly running out of options as to what you can do. If it's a younger teenager, if it's a really bad and they are constantly gone and so forth, parents have to look for possibly residential treatment, someplace that will do, you know, kind of structure 24 hours because parents are not mental health workers. The other one is, as you mentioned, is regular, not one time, not even a few times, but regular and persistent drug use, drug and alcohol use, bringing it into the house, you know, exposing other children to it, that kind of thing, and certainly violence. But when you have those circumstances, when a kid is not at home, regularly missing school, and or using drugs. Those are three big ones that parents end up doing almost dangerous things if they try to handle it themselves at home. You cannot run and kidnap your kid back out of the house of their, you know, girlfriend or whatever. And so you have to start thinking about other options. But, meaning if they're 17 or 18, that option does sometimes need to be, you're not allowed to live here.
I would say too, you know, I have several friends who have struggled because their kids are, horrible. They're horrible. They're doing drugs. They're not coming home. They have, both of these families had younger children in them. And they've said, here's our boundary. You cannot cross this. And that kid left and went to a friend's house whose parents were incredibly lenient and even doing drugs with the kids, or drinking with the kids, that sort of family situation where anything goes, right. And it's infuriating as a parent who's saying, I'm setting boundaries for a reason because I love my kid, and you're, dismissing everything, and taking my kid in.
That's right.
So wrong and so infuriating. What would you say to parents, that have seen this happen, or even possibly with an ex husband or wife who might be more lenient and the kid is choosing to live with them or go to their house because they know that you're going to have boundaries? I mean, now I know it's a little different situation.
Yeah, that is because you really don't have power to, make sure that a child doesn't go to your ex's house. Mm-hmm. It happened more likely in that circumstance. You have to accept that, that's where you're going to go. And I know that, and try to deal with your relationship with that. The other example, though, happens more and more often as time goes on. It used to be that you could kind of count on a community of parents that, even if I don't know who that parent is, if I call and say, listen, my teenager doesn't have my permission to be over there, there was a higher chance that parent would recognize that. And even if they don't like you or know you, they'll back you up. But nowadays it's about 50-50 chance. It's the same thing. If you call another parent and say, hey, I just need to let you know that my kid and your kid were smoking weed, there's a 50-50 chance the parent will say, well, I can't believe you're, messing with my kid's privacy or something ridiculous. So it makes it harder on parents to not have that community of other parents. And in those cases, it's not unreasonable to let the parents know that, there are legal consequences to harboring a runaway. I'm letting you know that you do not have my permission to keep my teenager there. And I need to let you know, I'm willing to do what it takes to let you know you can't do that. That's rare, but sometimes that happens. It even happens sometimes that extended family will do that, that the kid's own grandparent or whatever will, you can come over here. These are just lots of ways that happens when community breaks down and we don't really have the kind of community support outside of our own individual homes that we used to. And it makes it much tougher. But kicking out is something that when it does have to happen, like I said, it's under pretty much those three things, constantly, you don't know where they are, regular drug use and not going to school. Those are three things that by 17 in this country or 18, you kind of can set some limits that you can't live here if you do that. But here's the other thing, is that there is a technique, believe it or not, to kicking your teenager out. And that is, it's important for parents to know that you never, kicking a teenager out of your house does not mean the end of your relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though the teenager won't like it, it can sound like when you're telling like this 18-year-old, if I were her parent and whatever this horrible thing was continuing to happen, you can certainly just let her know you're not welcome to live here. You know that. So you if you want, you can come get these things. You can have these clothes and these kind of things. Come get it. And then you want to have lunch next Sunday. Now, very likely the teenager like, no, they don't want to talk to you. Okay, but we're not done with you. Our relationship isn't done with you. You just cannot live here. And that's important because you don't want even kicking out to be this end of our relationship. You're always their parent. And for the Christian parents that listen to us, it's critical at these points that's how you know whether you really are serving this child as a Christian parent, which is, even if you don't treat me right, I still, love you and I'm going to, put boundaries down, but I still am your parent and I love you. So Number one, kicking out does not mean that you're no longer my child and we don't talk to you. Yeah, absolutely. We talk to you. We'll meet you for lunch. Let's talk. Number two, and this is tricky, is that kicking out does not ever have to mean forever. So you don't say it at the time. You say you've got to go, but you and your spouse do need to set your own clock, which is what's the minimum time that they need to be out before we will reconsider letting them come back if they ask. So for example, you could say, look, we already found the vape pen again, or the dab pen, the weed, and you've got to go. We told you that. So Saturday's it, you got to go. You can take this, you can not take the computer, you can take your phone, blah, 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 whatever you say, but you got to go. See, you want to have lunch on Sunday? No, whatever. Okay, fine. But then you know in your own mind that that starts a clock, minimum 2 weeks, probably a month. You don't say it, but in your own mind, that I know that we will not reconsider them coming back for this amount, for at least 2 to 4 weeks. But if after that point, this teenager comes back and says, look, I'm not going to be doing drugs anymore, I'm whatever, then you really can renegotiate. And absolutely, you can come back. If you have really realized that, you know, you don't have the option that you thought you did. Teenagers always think, oh, I already know people that'll take me in. Their friend that said, you can live at my house. That means you can probably be on their couch for about 2 weeks. No one actually lets you in except for this weird mom that we're talking about in the article. So they actually will find out pretty quick that I don't have a place to be. I have never had a teenager live in their car ever. I had one kid in his car for almost a week in front of his parents' house. But that idea of I've got didn't get very to far. Go, it's not like that.
Yeah.
They have places they can go. But what you hope is they will discover the value of, you know, I think even though these silly no drug rules and or whatever, it's best that I follow them. And so I want to come back and renegotiate. You absolutely can renegotiate. This is not about setting some personal standard that you have wounded our family's pride. That's ridiculous. But you do set this secret, does it make sense? A secret timeline. You don't say it. It's not, you have to be gone for at least 2 weeks. That's a like some weird timeout. It's that you can't live here. But then you, if they come back and ask, then I, definitely wouldn't say yes 2 days later. But 3 weeks later, yeah, maybe so. And you definitely, if they want to recommit to following your structure, you bet.
Right. Well, you've got to set that boundary and hold that line and let them know that you're serious and I love you too much. And I said, this was unacceptable or this wouldn't be allowed at our home.
That's right.
And then give them that opportunity to learn their lesson and reconcile. But also to, you know, in this article, it doesn't have anything from the parents whose teenager was kicked out or
no, it wasn't necessary to talk to them, was it? That was not important to the article.
And I want to remind our listeners too, in the instance that parents need to kick their teenager out, I'm sure they're incredibly heartbroken and worried and
that's
concerned.
Right.
And I doubt any parents are like, well, you know, there they go. Let's move on with our life. You know, everything's better now. Like, no, they're hurting and this is, and it doesn't need to be public.
So oddly, kicking a teenager out is mostly an empty threat. You don't kick your teenager out, but there are these handful of circumstances, certainly 18, that to sustain your own household from major damage of a teenager that will not follow basic structure of being where you need them to be, not taking drugs or alcohol into your house, that's not yours, alcohol, I mean, and the not being at school, then I can just tell you very quickly, parents run out of options. You'll scream, you get all flip, you know, upset. I had a father that was took a sleeping bag into the hallway and sleeping in front of her door. You just look silly because you don't have the power to handle this adult and make sure that they essentially remain captive at your house. You can't do that. And those are the cases that it is reasonable to have to consider kicking a teenager out, not ending your relationship, kicking them out, and also not that you would never renegotiate, but no, you can't live here now.
Let me ask you a quick question about kind of jumping back in our conversation. So if you're a parent who suddenly your child's friend comes over and says, you know, my mom has mental health issues, you know, she's bipolar, I'm really struggling, or, you know, their own parents are just unable to care for them and they want to live at your house. And the other parent does not care if they live at your house. I mean, how do you handle that as a, you don't want to be taking in a teenager that really belongs to someone else, but at the same time, you feel obligated to help in some way.
Well, and you should. I mean, I've had a few of those where, mm-hmm. you know, first thing is you get a legal enough document from the parents saying that, yeah, this teenager has my permission to be living at your house. That doesn't have to be getting, I've learned this, you don't have to adopt or gain custody. There's usually in most states and countries, there's a way of just legally saying that you have power of parenting over this kid for a while. And my experience of that is that those kids are surprisingly grateful and usually behave pretty well at mm-hmm. your house. And the only exception to that is when there is something that happens that's surprising, like suddenly stays out all night or he skips school, you're in a kind of an odd spot because you're not the parent. And mm-hmm. it's harder to think about going from this agreed upon, you're going to rescue me, thank you so much, to now I'm grounding you. That's awkward. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, you really kind of need a teenager when you're doing that to talk pretty seriously about this means you have to be very mature. You have to pretty much be handle yourself like an adult because, you know, we can't be doing a lot of punishing you and stuff. Even like, you know, like say he's a friend of your son's, you know, it's like, you know, we'll ground our son quicker than we'll ground you. Mm-hmm. We'll have to just reconsider this arrangement if you do stuff. And that's just the way it is up front. So yeah, but I've had those cases work out pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you have the right expectations that you're not our kid and we're not going to be fully parenting you, but mm-hmm. we're happy to support you mm-hmm. as best we can.
And, you know, referring to the original argument or article, that girl was 18. She really had the right to live wherever she wanted
That's
to live.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
She's an adult. Mm-hmm. She could choose to live with anybody, but she clearly wasn't homeless. She had two homes that she was allowed to live in if she would behave herself.
And she joins the statistics of homelessness. She's just like someone on the street at San Francisco who's, you know, like, what?
No, it's not
no,
the same.
No.
So this from firsthand experience, I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever told you before, but my senior year, I lived with my mom and she lived across town, which I had always gone to the same high school. I was head cheerleader. I was in varsity choir. Like I was like all about my high school. Well, my senior year, I moved in with my mom and she lived across town. So I had a very best friend who was an only child and her parents were amazing and they let me live there.
I thought you might bring this up. Yep.
Yeah. They let me live there Monday through Friday, but I was a good kid. We had arrangements. I had permission from my mom. They made my own room, which they did not have to do. But they were so gracious and so good to me, but I was also respectful because I knew that they didn't have to offer that to me.
That's
they didn't have to
right.
extend that to me. And so I was so grateful. And it was all about communication, you know, like, hey, I'm not going to be here tonight, or I've got choir, or I've got a cheerleading event. But they were so, so good to me. And I'm still so grateful for that because they didn't have to, mm-hmm. because technically I could have just gone to the high school where my mom was zoned to.
Yeah.
But they cared enough about me and offered me that I could live there and finish out, you know, my high school there.
That's a perfect example. So listeners, if the kid asking to stay at your house is a young Ashley, then say yes.
But it does happen. But in those instances, there was no discord with anybody.
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, my mom knew how much cheerleading and choir meant to me. And it was my senior year. I was 18. So there are instances where that happens, but instances where there are like this article, you know, there's a lot of heartbreak and the parents are probably trying to do the right thing by drawing
That's
a
right.
boundary.
That's
and
right.
it's just unfortunate that things don't always work out to the benefit of the kid, you know, the 18-year-old.
Now, mm-hmm. see, I think I would just finish with this. I think it's interesting that with your background, you're more bothered by this overly nurturing parent rather than thinking, yeah, I've been there and teenagers need, like, you know what those situations really are like. And that's not one of these that you hold a fundraiser for, yeah, for her. You hold a fundraiser for little Ashley. That's what you do, but not for this, not for this girl.
This conversation has been heavy, and I hope, you know, that we've all gained a little bit. I think that, you know, maybe we haven't had this experience ourselves, but we might have a friend that's going through it. And so it's helpful to be thinking through this and remembering what it's like on both sides and how to be the parent on either the side that maybe needs to set some boundaries or the parent maybe that needs to take in a little Ashley. So thank you guys very much for this conversation. I appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.